Sinner and Saint Collection. Legends Lament. Written by Sebastian T. Wolfe. Performed by Mark Bowen. Chapter 1. Ambush. Purple-black ocean water painted the landscape before him. The night was canvassed by thousands of stars that glimmered and twinkled, blending beautifully into the black velvet horizon between land and sky. The pale light of the moon streaked over the roving waters, illuminating the ocean swells that rose and fell in an endless cycle of fluidity. The sounds of water crashing against sand and rock were the only ambience to the pre-dawn. Valrog stood upon the small balcony that overlooked the great stargazer ocean that connected the Casca kingdoms. Its waters were mythical, said to be topaz blue in the east, deep green in the north, deep blue in the west, and teal green in the south. He'd never been to the other kingdoms, therefore he could not verify the truth of it, but a part of him that still held to such things hoped it was true. A light night breeze tussled his pale gray nightrobe, his skin shivering slightly at the chill touch. Scanning the horizon, he noted a lean merchant vessel traversing across the tepid swells at a fair pace, undoubtedly heading for the docks, located at the southern curvature of the city beyond. Its captain would have to swing out wide upon reaching the northern entry point of the cove if he wished to avoid the treacherous reef that encompassed much of the region's coastline. The reef had many names, yet the most common was Callaghan's Curse, named for an admiral whose 13-strong armada had been lost on the reef during a chaotic series of storms that had devastated the coastline in what would become the admiral's final and most fateful campaign. It had effectively ended the war between Incor and Tarvalia some 2,000 years ago. Neither nation existed, but the Callaghan name had endured. Inside the crescent-shaped cove lay the city of Darmath, Velisa's capital, and the biggest city this side of the Stargazer, thanks to its trade links with Kildare in the north and Radial and Decreet in the east. Even a few ships from the Isle of Tribes managed to make their way to Darmath. Stone piers jutted from the southern crest of the cove. A forest of mast and sail littered the docks from the dozens of ships moored at the pier. A number of ships were forced to anchor in the calmer cove waters until spots were available for them to offload their goods. Despite the early hour, a few crews were moving amongst the rigging or loading crates in preparation for departure. Sweeping his eyes from the docks to the city, he noted the city's elegantly beautiful architecture. Darmath artisans prized form over function. The buildings were stout, flat-roofed, heavily whitewashed homes that stood no taller than 3-story high. The walls were thick to keep homes cool in summer and warm in winter. Most windows faced east to capture natural sunlight. Doors and windows were painted deep shades of blue to blend with the coastal sea beyond. There were beautiful open plazas, bubbling water fountains, and numerous pleasant and serene public gardens spread throughout the city. Militarily, Darmath lacked defensive battlement and barricades along much of the water's edge. The cobblestone streets were generally broadly spaced and laid out in a simple grid pattern. An invading army would face no real substantial opposition until they reached the city's singular defensive wall that was complete with gatehouses, iron gates, and tunnels, though even these measures were focused primarily on protecting Darmath from an assault from over land rather than a naval attack.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?